15, if you'll stand with us. And we're just going to squeeze all the juice we can out of this text till I feel like the Lord is done with that. But Luke 15, I'm going to read two verses of Scripture, verse number 12 and verse number 13. The Bible says, "And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." Heavenly Father, I ask you this morning to add your blessings to the reading of your word. I thank you for the good testimonies. God, they've encouraged us. They've helped us. We need them in this hour. The right kind of testifying. We and this church does that. And Lord, I thank you for your people that will glorify your name. And I pray, God, that you'll just continue to be glorified. Speak to hearts. Save people here that are lost. Lord, I know there's people here that needs to get right with you. And I pray that you'd deal with their heart this morning. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I want you to notice the young man in verse number 12 here. For I probably preach a lot of sermons about this young man in the next coming weeks as the Lord would lead us. But in verse number 12, of course, we know the age of this young man because the Bible says, "And the younger of them said." So he is a young man. This means that he's not dumb. Just because somebody's young does not mean they're dumb. In fact, I think young people, their minds are so sharp, their minds are so smart that they can learn and they can pick up on things a lot faster than maybe us middle-aged folks and older people because they have their youth. Amen? And so young does not mean dumb. Young may mean inexperienced. And what it means is that though you may be smart and you may have a lot of knowledge and that God has even blessed you with a good mind, there is the lack of experience. And I want to say this, that God, thank God, He puts older people in all of our lives that has been further down the road than what we have to help educate us and give us the experiences of life. Now, I'm telling you, the saving of my ministry and the saving of my life has always been people that were older than me. And I thank God that I was around people, that preachers and teachers that taught us to listen to those that have been further down the way. Now, we're living in a generation that just like this young man that thinks because that maybe they're not in touch with everything, technology and everything that goes on, that maybe people are just out of touch. But I'm going to tell you, you'll do more learning from somebody that's older than you than you will somebody the same age as you. Amen? And so the young man, he is the age of this son. And then there's the authority that is over this son. He has a father that is over him. He has someone who provided for him. The father had provided everything this son needed. He had someone who had protected him. This young man, as long as he is in the Father's care, he is in safety. He is okay. God has blessed him with a good home and a good father that has provided for him. He is his authority, but he is a good authority that has provided and he has protected him, and he is someone who has prospered him. Everything that this young man has that he's going to take with him, he owes it to his father. Amen. I want to say to this morning, young people, everything that God or that you have, God has given you a good home, a good family, a good church, a salvation, on and on. All the things the Bible said, every good gift that cometh down from the Father of lights, from whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We could all raise our hand this morning and say that God has provided for us, God has protected us, and God, my friend, He has prospered us. I've got more living for God tonight or this morning than I ever would have living for the devil. You say, "Preacher, you got a lot of riches." No, but I got riches money can't buy. I've got peace on my pillow. I got salvation, eternal life. I got a better hope and a better place. I'd rather have that as I have all the money that this old world could ever offer you. And we think about the authority of the Son, and then we think about the actions of the Son. The actions of the Father. When you look at verse number 12, the son comes to him and says, "Give me the portion of goods that fall upon me." What you notice in verse number 12 is the graciousness of this father. He puts up no fuss but he gives him and he divides unto them his living. There is not only the graciousness but the giving of the Father. What verse 12 teaches us is that the Father withheld nothing from this boy. You know, nobody will ever get to heaven and say, God, you wasn't good to me. God, you didn't supply my needs. God, you didn't take care of me. I'm telling you, the Father gave the Son more than he desired and more than he deserved. Hallelujah. And there is the action of the Father. But when we get to verse number 13, our text, there's the absence of the prodigal. He goes from being a son, even though he always was a son, we know that, to now becoming a prodigal. Notice this promptness. The Bible said in verse number 13, and not many days after. It didn't take this boy long to leave home. You notice his possessions in verse 13. The younger son gathered all together. Everything he's gathering, the Father gave him. I want to say, if you go out in sin, you need to look around. Your health, your family, your home, your job, the breath in your body, everything you have, God gave it to you. I see his possessions. I see his plan. The Bible said that he took his journey in a far country. This boy had a plan. Oswald Chambers made this statement about this verse. He said this young man, he said he had the lust of the far country in his heart long before he had the dust of the far country on his feet. This young man, it was already in his heart to go. I've seen that, and you have too. I've seen it in young people, seen it in elder or middle-aged folks. I'm talking about both the home and the house of God. We have all seen that and witnessed that. When people start getting it in their heart, they start making plans to exit. That's what this young man, when he came to the Father, he already had a plan that he was leaving home. I'm telling you, young people do that many times when they start getting in their heart to want to go out in the world and want to go out to sin. A lot of times in church you'll see that. Now listen, I'm not saying people sitting in the back necessarily is backslid, but you know what I'm talking about when I make this statement, that when I've seen people that once sit up front and they just keep going further and further and further back, I would be a fool of a pastor not to be concerned about that, because I've seen it, and you have too many times, that when people stop doing this for God and they stop doing that and they just start easing closer to that door, more times than not, now I'm not talking about a health reason, and I'm not talking about some type of physical reason where you got to be in the back or something like that. I'm just talking about, we've seen that. They start untying themselves because in their heart they have a plan. His plan, his place. His place is the far country. Notice his problem in verse 13. He wasted his substance. Boy, I'm telling you, you get away from God, you live a wasted life, don't you? And then his party. And notice the Bible said in riotous living. I want to preach a few minutes this morning on this subject, on the young man who left home wrong. I'm not just preaching to young people, but it is a good message for you young people. But I want to think about this young man who left home wrong in two lights. Number one, I would say to the young people, don't leave home wrong. When it comes time for you to step out, make sure that you're right with God and with your parents when you leave home. And then secondly, I would say to all of us this morning, in light of the house of God, if you leave the house of God, you leave the house of God wrong. David said that his desire is that he would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm telling you, as long as you're living here in this world and you're physically able, I'm not talking about shut-in people, but as long as you're physically able, there ought to be a desire and there ought to be a determination that you're going to go to the house of God all the days of your life. I'm telling you, when I get to the place one day physically, I don't know if I'll get to that place, but if I get to that place where maybe you get wheelchair bound, roll me in the house of God. If I get to the place where I'm walker bound, somebody stand behind me and let me roll in the house of God. As long as I can put one foot in front of the other and go to church, I want to go to church. May not be able to preach, may not be able to be a pastor, but I tell you, I want to sit among the saints. I want to be in the Father's house all the days of my life. May not be able to do some of the things I used to do. We all get to that place in life, but I'm telling you, I don't want to get out of church. I don't want to get away from the house of God. I'm not looking for an exit this morning. I'm not looking for a better place. I don't want to go to the far country. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, the best thing that ever happened to any of us after God saved us was He put us in a good old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church. Amen. And while I'm on the subject, I want to just go ahead and run this rabbit down. I'm glad I'm still an independent Baptist. Amen. There's a lot of them been ashamed of it. There's a lot of them walked away from it. I'm not bitter to be because I'm an independent Baptist. I'm not mad because I'm an independent Baptist. I'm not ashamed because I'm an independent Baptist. Brother, I'm glad I'm in a good old-fashioned church. I'm not ashamed of singing and shouting and praising God. Are you? I thank God we still got a place on the side of the road. I'm telling you, it doesn't have to be the biggest and the fanciest. I just want to go to church where I feel the breeze of heaven brush over my soul and the saints of God sing the old songs of Zion and hear some good old-fashioned hellfire and brimstone preaching in this hour. Isn't that right? It may not suit everybody's fancy, but I tell you, it's kept me out of a lot of trouble in life. And this young man, he leaves the farm, he leaves the family, he leaves his father. Why? Well, if you look at verse 12, to gather all, he said, Father, give me the portion of good. And verse 13 said, and he gathered all. And then to waste all, if you look at verse number 13, he wasted his substance. And then to spend all, look at verse 14, and when he had spent all. I mean, this boy doesn't get out of one verse into the first part of the next. He goes from gathering everything that the father gave him to wasting it to finally spending every bit of it. I want to tell you, you get away from God, you get away from your parents. You leave home wrong, young people, you'll waste a lot of good things God gave you. When you leave home wrong, this is exactly what happens. I mean, I want you to think about some things this morning concerning this young man who left home wrong. If you're a young person, I want you to think about your parents in the house of God. If you're not a young person, if you're an adult that's already moved out, I want you to think about this house, this home, the house of God, because this father does represent our heavenly Father this morning. And I want you to think about this morning. I thought about when Brother Moore was preaching that message Sunday night. He had no idea what I would preach this coming Sunday morning. But when he talked about graciously quitting, I thought, man, God is just, it's not an accident that God gives one preacher a sermon and another preacher a sermon, and neither one of them has talked about it. You say, what is that? It's providence. Amen. And it's the grace of God that he would send the warning. Amen. But this young man, he just leaves home and he leaves wrong. Now, did he find forgiveness? Yes. Did he find mercy? Yes. Was he able to get back to his father? Yes. But you hear me? He never got his inheritance back. You leave and get out of the will of God, can you find mercy and forgiveness? Yes. Will the father take you back? Yes. Can you come back? Oh, yes. But I'm going to tell you something. There are some things you will never get back if you get away from God. And if you don't believe that this morning, you just go talk to anybody that's ever backslid and got out of church. They're right with God and they love God, and I tell you, and they probably wouldn't think twice now about ever getting back out, but they'll tell you, hey, he's forgave me, he has showed me mercy, but I lost some things out there that God blessed me and God gave me that I will never get back. You say, what kind of things? Well, like peace of mind, amen. You say, well, can God give you peace when you get right? Yes, but you'll live with the regrets the rest of your life. Amen? I'm talking about a clean conscience, a clear conscience. I'm talking about purity. You can get out there and lose that, and you can never get it back. This young man found forgiveness. He found a bed. He found a ring. He found a robe. He found shoes on his feet. He found a loving father and celebration, but he never got his inheritance back. You say, why? The world took it from him. And young people, the world will take, they'll take your inheritance. I want you to think about a few thoughts here and I'll be done. When a young man leaves home wrong, number one, I wish this young man would have thought about the loved ones that he hurt. Because in verse number 13, the Bible says that verse number 12, the latter part, he divided unto them his living. Notice the father divided unto them his living. No partiality with the father. What he does for one, he does for others. He gave both of these boys their living. He didn't leave the elder brother out. He's no respecter of persons. But when you get to verse 13, the Bible says, and not many days after, this young man leaves without ever, there's no goodbyes in this text. He doesn't say goodbye to his brother. He doesn't say goodbye to his father. And when people walk away from God or they walk, yeah, I've seen young people, I mean, just pack their bags and walk out and leave their mother, leave their father. I mean, just brokenhearted in tears and never even say goodbye. I mean, that's a terrible thing. Amen? You're to honor your father and your mother all the days of your life. I think that would be one of the most dishonorable things that a young person could ever do, is to walk out and leave their mother and father standing in tears, brokenhearted, not able to sleep at night, and them just walk out. No, there's no goodbyes in this text. By the way, that's the way it is when people leave church. There's no goodbyes. They leave. There's no guilt in this text. He doesn't feel bad about how his father feels. You know his father was broken. He doesn't have any guilt. I'm telling you, when people get out in sin, it's almost like they lose their mind. The old saying is, sin will make you stupid. And it's true. You lose that sound mind. People get tunnel vision. They get to thinking about that one thing that they want or that one life they're going to live, and there's no guilt. They don't care who puts the warning signs up. They don't care who's worried. It doesn't matter what the preacher thinks or his wife or the church. It doesn't matter how many hearts they break in the process. I mean, I've literally seen parents sit in our office and young people sitting there, and all the while the parents just weeping and crying, and the young person sitting there just stone cold. Y'all see that. Just so stone cold. And I know there's no hope to help that young person at that moment I'm talking about. There's always hope, but I'm saying at the moment. When them parents, after a while, they weep and then they start saying things sometimes like, well, I know we've failed. And that young person will say, well, they did this, you know, and pray for me in times like that. Because there's a little bit of how I was raised, want to rise up at that moment. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I mean, I just like to take my belt off and wear their self out. Now, y'all, some of y'all can't handle that, but I'm going to go ahead and preach it because I'm going to tell you why. That is the problem with this generation. Thank God when I was raised in a generation when daddies carried belts and mamas carried hickories and children wore stripes, and guess what? You didn't have all the mess you got up. My parents were lost, and that's in the Bible. Go on and read the book of Proverbs. Amen? It's all in there. Now they want to sit down and they want to try to figure things out. They want to do this soft parenting thing. They want to get, how's that working out? I'll tell you, it's not working out too good for this generation. They rise up and curse their mother and curse their father. I'm telling you, listen, yeah, I'm just plain old Georgia language. If I'd have talked back to my mom and dad, they'd have knocked my teeth out of my head. I'd been wearing dentures today. Because they weren't going to, and hey, every one of you that's my age and older, you know that's true, isn't it? You didn't talk back to your parents. I remember one time I got a whooping for something I didn't do. Not a spanking, but a whooping. I tried to tell them I didn't do it, but I mean, they didn't believe me. I reckon I'd tried that before. Well, they found out later that I really didn't do it. And I told you I didn't do it. I was waiting for an apology, Sister Patsy. I thought, here, all my life I have waited for some vindication. You know, I'd go to my room after a whip and think, you know, one of these days, I hope I go blind and they feel bad the rest of their life. You know, we all thought things like that. I hope some, you know, and I think crazy stuff like that as a kid, you know. Boy, they're going to really be sorry one of these days. And I remember when my parents found out I really didn't do it, I was sitting there, I thought, here it comes. Here comes the apology of my dad. You know what he said to me? He said, well, son, it's just like this. He said, there's no telling how many things you did we never found out about. So, you know, you had them coming anyway. And it never scarred me. It never made me warped as a child. It never bothered me emotionally. You know what it did? It taught me to love my parents. That's what that book says. I love my mom and dad. I thank God for them. I thank God that they... And I'm going to tell you, this boy, he didn't care. There's no guilt about that. No gratitude. He never even said thank you for what his daddy gave him. I've seen young people leave home, and my point to that illustration was that when oftentimes you hear them blaming their parents, you know they're not right with God. Are parents perfect? No, but you ought to wait till you try parenting yourself. Do parents make mistakes? Sure they do. It's the hardest job in the world, because when you start out parenting, when you first get employed as a parent, you don't know what you're doing. It's the first time, and you're trying to figure it out. And by the time you get a good handle on it, guess what? You're unemployed. They're grown and gone. What I'm saying is, this young man left home. I wish young people would always think about their parents. If you leave home right when it comes the time to leave, because you don't want to hurt your parents. They paid the light bill, the water bill. They bought clothes for school. They think about all that. You can't even count all the meals from the time they fed you when you were a little baby. They protected you. They gave you a good education. All these things should have mattered to this young man, but he just gathered it all up, and he walked out the door and never thought about it. If you leave wrong, think about the loved ones you'll hurt. If you leave wrong, think about the location you're going to live. He went to the far country. I mean, this boy, he had it in his heart. The far country. You say, Brother Gravely, where's the far country? It could be in your mind this morning. It could be a fantasy in your mind of a life that you want to live that's not this life. It's not the life that your parents have provided for you. The far country could be a fantasy in your mind. I'm sure the devil's good at painting a picture in the minds of people. Hey, you might be an adult this morning, and I'm preaching this morning, and the far country, it could be that it could be a fantasy in your mind of a better life. I just recently had a friend that I found out that him and his wife just busted up. They're the same ages as me and my wife. They got children. And I thought about, after all those years of being married, I don't know how you just walk away and just start all over again. I'm talking about people who go to church. But somewhere's in the mind of one of them, they got this fantasy that they could do better than what they've got. I've seen that. Well, he's not what he used to be. She's not what she used to be. I'm going to tell you, the devil will paint a picture in your mind, and it's just a fantasy. And that could be the far country. It could be, the far country this morning. It could be miles away. It could be just leaving here and going somewhere where there's no connection with nobody else. That's what it was for this boy. I'm getting away from my daddy. I'm getting away from the servants. I'm getting away from the family. I'm getting away from everybody I was ever connected with. And I'll tell you, I'm going to start a new life. Boy, he did a good job, didn't he? When you leave God, think about where you're headed. You're headed on a downward road. Think about the life you're going to live. What kind of life did this young man live? In verse 12, he lived a sinful life, didn't he? Righteous living. He lived a very sad life. He wasted his substance. No investment. No. And that's what happens when people get out and sin. They waste the things in their life. Waste their youth. Waste their mind. Waste their talents and their ability. There's been young people that, I'm telling you, they had voices to sing, but they went out and they started singing the world songs. And they had the ability to play great instruments. I'm going to tell you, young people, if God's let you play an instrument, don't ever play one time. I don't care if you're sitting in a room all by yourself. Don't you play none of the devil's songs. God gave you that ability. He gave you that talent. And you make sure you keep that instrument pure and sanctified and clean. And you only play music that glorifies God. Don't ever say, well, it's just a little old song, just a little old run. No, you stay as far away from the devil's music as you can. I'm telling you, don't you have anything. If God bless your hands, you use them for the glory of God, not for the devil. Sinful life. People get out in sin. Think about the young people's lives. Beautiful,
young ladies and handsome young men that in a matter of years, drugs, alcohol destroyed their life. I mean, beautiful. God had blessed them. You know, you young girls and young men sitting here today, y'all look very nice. And you've got your health and you've got your strength. And you look, you know, you look like someone that has their sanity this morning. Now that could be a stretch, y'all know that, but you look like one. No, I'm telling you this, God's blessed you. You wait for God to send the right person in your life. Doesn't matter when it is, you just let God send it. You know, some boy or girl come be bopping in here and, you know, they got girls. Some boy come in here and he's got hair as long as you. He's not for you. Is that right? If he can ponytail his hair, I'd run from him like a scalded dog. Amen. And I know that's unpopular, but it's true. If he ain't clean cut on the outside, I'd be worrying if he's clean cut on the inside. And you even got to watch them too, by the way. But I'm telling you, some girl come in here and she wants to dress like the world. And if they're lost, we're glad they're here. But we're not talking about their soul. We're talking about marriage. I don't care. Listen, I don't think there's nothing wrong with a young adult lady wearing makeup a little bit. Not cake up, somebody say amen. Not enough to, you know, paint a school bus with. I mean, she come in and she's got, you know, 20 earrings in and she's got, she's got so much eyeshadow, you know, thick. I mean, every time she blinks, it looks like a camera going off. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I remember all that preaching. They used to say, man, they got so much eyeshadow, it looks like their gallbladder busted. Amen. Y'all hang with me this morning. I know what time it is. I'm going to preach till I'm done this morning. You boys stay away from a girl like that. You pray for her soul to be saved. But don't you get the idea you're going to win her to Jesus and marry her. No, you just pray for her. So why you preach like that to them? Because I don't want their lives to be ruined. I told you know, and hey, the same goes for all of us this morning. I'm saying that we got to think about that this young man goes out and he lives a righteous life. People today, they walk away from God and they want to, and the first thing they want to do is they want to start testing and get out and experience some things that they never thought that they could do down at the father's house. See, this boy, he had some boundaries living there. That father had boundaries at his house and he knew that this is the only life that he's ever going to live. But if I can get to that far country, oh, there's another side of life. I want to tell you there is. It's a hellish side of life. It'll strip you and rob you of every good thing. You won't be able to sleep at night for the scars. It'll run so deep. I'm telling you, it'll take you. Look at how this boy turned out. It didn't turn out good for him. I've made a lot of mistakes, but I'm going to tell you something. I've never regretted giving God the best years of my life. I'm not telling you I've been the best Christian. I wish I could go back and be more dedicated to God. I wish I could go back and make some different changes in life. But I want to tell you, I thank God that me and my wife lived for the Lord through our teenage years. I thank God He gave us enough grace. We never got out into the world. Amen. I know there's people here that you have, and I'm thankful the grace of God has rescued you. But I want to preach to these young people this morning. Don't ever go that way. Amen. I'm telling you, I thank God we live for Him in our 20s and our 30s and our 40s. Amen. I want to keep on living for Him. There's just nothing you can ever exchange for that. So I'm glad I never went to a prom in my life. Never went to a prom. I'm glad that I never went to a night on the town. You say you're bragging? No, I'm bragging on Jesus this morning. I would have had God not saved me. I remember going to a high school football game a little while after I got saved, and it was just right through the woods from where I lived. And probably been saved maybe, I don't know, 7 or 8 months. I went to a high school football game, but still going to public school. I didn't get out of no sin, but I wasn't doing anything wrong that night. I was just walking around with some buddies that I went to school with. We just walk in the track around the about while the game was going on, and different young people we went to school with. But I'm telling you, I felt like a fish out of water that night. The whole time I was with them, I still remember that. I remember them two boys walking when the Holy Ghost was talking to me, saying, "Son, this is no place for you to be with these people anymore." I'm telling you, that night I walked back home. I walked across that field and down that trail to the house. And I told God that night, I said, "Lord, I don't know why I feel so bad, but I don't think I'm going to go back and hang out with that crowd no more." We didn't do a thing wrong that night, but I tell you, it would have led eventually. That wasn't the crowd. That wasn't my crowd no more. Thank God when he saves you, he takes you out of nothing. I'm not down on that crowd this morning. I know I hit a snag when I said prom in high school, but I tell you, I still feel that way. Not backing up on that. I'm telling you, listen, how is it? A praying knee and a dancing foot don't go together. Somebody say amen right there. You know what goes on in places. And that night I said, "Lord, if you'll... Did I ever go to a football game?" Well, sure, I went back to a football game when I got older, but I didn't go walk around with that crowd no more. I stayed away from it. Think about the life you're going to live. I ask you this morning, are you going to live for God all the days of your life? Young people, are you going to marry? Are you going to wait and marry in the perfect will of God? You going to marry a good, godly young man that loves the Lord and puts church first? You going to marry a good, godly young lady that loves the Lord and that puts God first? You're going to be that dedicator? Are you going to be patient to wait till God sends the right person? And then I want to say this morning to us that are already married and already maybe down life's road a little bit further. Have you drew a hard line in the sand and said, "You know what? I don't care if my friends go that way. I don't care if my family goes that way. I am going to live for God by the grace of God all the days of my life. I'm going to stay in a good old-fashioned church under some good old-timey preaching." Have you already drew that line in the sand and made that commitment to God? Hey, wife, you may have to make that even if your husband does it. And husband, you may have to make it if your wife does it. You're going to have to say to yourself, though none go with me, still I will follow Jesus all the days of my life. I'm talking about this young man. If he would have just thought about the life he was going to live. And then finally this morning, think about the loss you're going to take. The Bible said in verse 14, he spent all. It doesn't even take one verse. He loses everything that God gave him. Don't lose what God gave you. You know how to keep what God gave you? Stay where God put you. If he had just stayed, he had never lost anything. It was a tragic loss, and it was a total loss. He didn't spend some. He didn't spend most. He spent all. He spent everything. He lost everything. I've seen people, and you have too, who came back to God, and thank God they came back, but they came back empty-handed. They're like Naomi in the Old Testament. They went out full. They came back empty. I think of a young man right now. He's really not a young man. He's about 42 years old. He had a great promise as a preacher. God was using him. And I remember as a young person, when he started preaching, I thought, God's hand is on that young man. I'm just a few years older than him. And in one summer, he went someplace he shouldn't have went. And in one summer, he threw it all away. Everything. When I heard that, it blew my mind. I couldn't even believe that happened to him. I've seen God touch that man and use him in his 20s. But he couldn't wait for the right one. And on a beach, he met a girl one summer. And he threw it all away. He says he's living for God as far as I know, but he'll never live that life that he could have lived. So what happened to him? He lost his inheritance. See, you never know what God plans for us. You never know what blessings God has down life's road. And while there is grace and there is mercy, I'm preaching this morning to those of us, and you may be here. You know, there could be a man here this morning or a lady that you're a little unhappy in your marriage. And the devil has sold you a bill of goods. And you think that if you can get out of what you're in, your life's going to be better. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning on the authority of God's Word, Luke chapter 15, your life will never be better stepping out of God's will. And if you don't believe that, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll stay after service. I won't be belligerent. I'll stay after service. And I'll sit down with you. Me and my wife will sit down with you. And I won't name names, but I'll give you illustration after illustration. Let's walk through the doors of this church. Just through the doors of this church. Whose life is no better. They're destroyed. I don't know why God wants me to say that, but I don't think it's accidental this morning. Brother, I'm telling you, the far country will ruin all of us today. And you never get too old to pack up and go there. I want to say this in closing as Miss Sheila comes. If he should have thought about the hard lessons he's going to have to learn. He should have thought about the Lord. He's going to have to face God with what he's done. You say, how do you know that? Because he says it. I've sinned against heaven. That boy knew he not only did wrong against his daddy, but he did wrong against God. I tell you, young person, leave your home right. If you leave wrong, you not only sin against your parents, you sin against God. This morning as we stand, I know I've preached long. He's hung this sermon on my heart all this week. I was in revival meeting, and of course I was praying for that meeting, but I'll tell you, my heart all week was on this message I was going to preach this morning. I said, God, and I mean this morning, I said, Lord, I know God put this on me early in this week. I said, Lord, I don't know what you're doing in people's hearts, but please, I can't convince nobody of nothing, but you, he knows how to get a hold of all of us. And I pray, oh Holy Ghost, Spirit of God, I pray this morning. I don't know any needs in this building when it comes to this message, but you know. And I pray you'd deal with hearts this morning and help us, God. Please, Lord, we need your help. And I pray you'd have your way in this invitation in Jesus' name while we sing.